Thank you, Charlie. I was just reflecting a little bit what to say about Ray and Marianne. And first of all, we got to know them when they were leading South Church. Now, who was part of South Church? See? There are a good sprinkling of people still here. And that was about 50 years ago or something. So it was a long time ago, not quite that far back. But just to say that these dear people go back with us many, many years. Now, I realized this was only a percentage of the people put their hands up. Now, a good number of the people here were part of another church, like this church here. We were sort of divided up into six congregations in the early 80s, for the ones who don't know. And then we sort of gradually pulled them back together again, and Langley remained as a separate work. So Ray and Marianne were known to us as South Church leaders. And then when we pulled together the fellowship again, Ray was the senior pastor here at West Coast for a few years in the 80s. Before then, they moved to Vernon, worked in Vernon for a number of years. Then he became the leader of the Vernon Fellowship for a good number of years. And they are still part of Vernon Christian Fellowship. And now they are being sent out, well, now 8 years ago, they've been sent out to Africa as missionaries. And they are still Vernon's missionaries. And the Vernon Fellowship have faithfully supporting them ever since. I'm just saying that as a little example to us. And that's a real encouragement to us. Now, I just want to say something about Ray, because he's instrumental in many of our lives. And one thing about Ray that I really always appreciated was his zeal for the Lord. There is a zeal in this man that is uncompromising and is affectioning. It just pulls you with you. And this has been wonderful. And he has been a great encouragement to many young men just sort of growing up. And he helped kind of pass on this appreciation and zeal for the Lord. That's just one attribute that I can remember. So it's none of you doing. It's the Lord's grace. And just to make sure, you know, we're all clear about that. So we're just so grateful for that. And I told Ray this morning, I really felt that he's not visiting with friends here. Because friends you can have everywhere, and you can have really good friends in the world. I have some good friends, and they don't believe in Jesus whatsoever. But Ray and Marianne are here as family, and they are with brothers and sisters. And that is a big difference. Because we're here because of Jesus, and our focus is on him. And I know this is Ray's heart. And I'd like you to receive them that way. Not as friends only, but as brothers and sisters. And that's just so precious. Let me just pray for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Ray and Marianne and Boss David. We just pray that you would bless them and just anoint them as they are here for a period and then move back out again into Africa. And I just pray for Ray as he brings the word, that the word would pierce our hearts and change us. May you be glorified. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to let Marianne.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I usually end up saying something. You don't really need it. It's a nice room here. I think I'm getting older because... No, it's okay. Because, you know, when I was younger, I wanted lots of noise, but now I want it quieter. Can anyone relate with me? Never thought I would come to that, but I was just sitting here thinking of the days when Ray used to lift Christine, then Harris, and our Christine up into the attic looking for odds and ends of things. Do you remember that? Do you remember doing that? And, you know, now your daughters are growing up, our daughters are growing up, and we still are here. It's amazing. I am so amazed at relationship because God is our Father, and He has a family, and that's what it's about. It's not about doing ministry. It's not about anything but just family. And the older I get, and the farther I am away from Canada, the more I appreciate that so much. And I just, it's so, every time I'm here, I go, oh, okay, I'm not going to cry. But it really is amazing. It just is so amazing. And we were singing that song, Oh, How He Loves Us. And I was looking around and I was saying, thank you, Lord. You do love us, but we don't always believe it. And the Lord reminded me of a time when Ray and I had some prayer in our marriage for our relationship. And this person that was praying for us asked us to look at each other and for Ray to say to tell me that he loved me. And I couldn't receive it. I said, don't say that, don't say that. And I think sometimes it's like that with us, with the Lord. He says, I love you. And you go, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm thinking. And he says, I love you. And I felt this morning the Lord is saying that to some people. And you're saying the words, but you don't believe it. And I can relate to that. I still have to try to believe that. When we were, a long time ago, we were with some pastors and we had an old African-American bishop. And everyone was asking questions of this man. What is the most challenging thing in your ministry? And he actually was probably in his 80s then. He said, the most challenging thing is knowing God's love. And I just say to you this morning, I felt like the Lord was just quickening in my heart, am I going to believe that He loves me today? Whatever you've done, wherever you are, whatever, He's saying to you that He loves you. He loves us. And He's saying, believe me, I love you. So I'll just leave that with you. And I just say I love you. I'm just so thankful to be here. After all these years, God is good.
Wow. God has been faithful. Marianne and I just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary back 40 years. Golly, that seems like a long time ago. And we're still together. So, you know, just before I share, one of the things I just wanted to say this morning, and it was mentioned in our prayer time this morning, but also a number of times it's been mentioned that we're amongst family. And just to say, I mean, I just look around, I look at Mike and April, they were in our first house group in 1980. That's 30 years ago. And others. And but it's more than that, because I've got family and David. He's part of my family. His mom actually speaks to her husband, Pastor Reuben, and says, are you listening to your older brother? And that's how joined we are together. But it goes much, much even deeper than that. I look at Ray and Patsy here. They're just here visiting, but you may not know the connection again, because Ray has and Patsy have been very instrumental in helping build some of the houses for us up in the High Plateau in Emmanuel Center. So already, they're already part of what God is doing. And just receive them as family too. And, you know, God just weaves our lives together. And it's amazing what He does. It's amazing. Oh, there's Art and Marg. I didn't even see you guys here. My goodness. But, you know, here since 1979, when we first came here, and here we are in, 2010. And I just look around and see God's faithfulness, and God has kept us and kept us. And He's bringing up a new generation. We have 13 grandkids now and a 6-year-old. So we're having fun. I want to bring greetings from Pastor Reuben, Mama Bea, Jolie, David's parents particularly, and the saints that are there. I want to bring greetings from the children in New Hope Center, Emmanuel Center, Shalom Center, various places where we work in Burundi and Congo. I want to bring greetings from Pastor Reuben, too, and our Pastor Edmund and Faith. And I sent him an email last night. I'm just saying I was going to be here this morning, and I know they would want to send their love. And also, if you would allow me to bring and send their love, your love back to them. That's, again, the wider family. And they pray for you, as I know you pray for them. And God is continuing to be faithful in all the things that he's doing. Just another thing, just so that you're aware, the connections keep on going. Verena's actually going to be with us in Burundi in November and is going to be spending at least a month with us. We'll see how long Tony allows her to be with us. But she's going to be working and helping Marianne in the school, but more just being with us as friends and family. So be praying for that and be praying for those things. Mentioning Tony and Verena. Today's their 30th wedding anniversary. And again, the faithfulness of God, and we bless you just that God continues to show his faithfulness. And we just love you very much. If you could turn in your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 1. Now, I'm very aware that the children are with us, so I will not try to ramble, but there again, you know, the minute I say that, I know that's exactly what's going to happen. And we were with a dear man of God a little while ago in the fellowship, and he had been in the West, and he said, yeah, he says, they invited me to the church, and they said, you've got 1 hour to speak. And he said, well, God, I can't even get through my introduction in 1 hour. I mean, so, but I try not to be that long. But I have some things on my heart that what I'll do is try to weave some stories and some of the things, give you some updates of what's happening in Burundi and in Congo as we share together. Because I really feel that something that's on my heart out of this chapter is something, I want you to go away with something, not just information. I really feel that God wants to speak something into our lives that, you know, Marianne spoke about how much he loves us, but for you also to know that he has great promises for us. And if we would only grasp those promises, if we would only believe what God really wants to say to us and how his heart is really for us, there's no end to what he can do. It's amazing what he can do. But let's just look in Joshua chapter 1, and I'll just read. We're just going to quickly read through, not the whole chapter, just a few verses here. Moses had died. The death of Moses had happened. Joshua, the son of Nun, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. God said to him, now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. And then he makes some promises. He says, every place in which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers. And he continues on, only be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Don't depart from the law. Meditate on it day and night, and you will be prosperous and successful. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now Joshua was facing a very uncertain future at this point. Moses had died. The Israelites were tired. They were weary travelers. There was a swollen Jordan River that separated Joshua and the people from their long-awaited promised land. But something new was stirring. And I believe God wants to stir something new in us this morning. God comes suddenly to Joshua and he speaks clearly that the time is now to arise and possess the land which he had given to them. And with seven unique promises, the Lord assures Joshua of victory, gives him the confidence he needed to rise up to a new level in his faith. And I want to look at those promises this morning and see how they might be applied in our lives, how they have been applied in our lives, how they've been applied in the lives of the people we work with, but also how they might apply in your life today. That's the part I want you to take away with. See, God is always moving. God is always expanding. God is always extending. God is always growing. And as we move forward into what it really means for each and every one of us today, it is good to have some things. I need, you know, and when we're working, and I need something to hang on to. It isn't just, you know, you can have the bravado, you can have the courage, you can, you know, do the macho thing and everything else, but that most of the time, I need something to hang on to. Something that will carry me. Something that when the going gets tough, it isn't just the tough get going. I can say, okay, God, I know. God, I know. And he speaks to us. Some things to hang on. Some things to keep us through the storm. Some things to keep us through the challenges. Guess what? Which always come when you're in God's will. How many know that if you're in God's will, there's going to be challenges? There's going to be challenges. I mean, we could spend the rest of the day and say, okay, what challenges are you facing? What? Because you're in God's will. But I need something. But also, we need to know that when God speaks, it always comes to pass. Always. It says in Numbers 23, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And we know that he does. And we know the verses, Isaiah, you know, no word that comes out of my mouth will return to me empty without accomplishing the purpose for which he sent it. You know, I was thinking the other day about the promises. It was in this very building, 1979, Ben Moore spoke a word into our lives. And I may have shared that before when we were together. He was a prophet God. Many of you will remember Ben Moore being here. But he says, you're going to have a son. Right. And we heard that word. We laughed at each other and we chuckled a bit. And it was impossible naturally at that time. It's still impossible. Not just that time. But we took the promise by faith. And that's what I want. The promises of God you have to take by faith. God had spoken it. Our part was to believe it. Now, we didn't go out and try to make it happen. We didn't look for a miracle cure. We didn't go and begin an adoption process the next moment for a boy or a son or anything else. What we did is we waited, we prayed. And we didn't pray every day. But we prayed, but we rested in the promise that God had spoken. Somehow the word would come to pass. We didn't know how. But it wouldn't return without accomplishing the purpose for which it was sent. And 25 years later, a young boy, 3 months of age, came into our lives. Boss David is now 6 years old, and in Burundi, they say he looks just like me. Yeah. He does say he talks like me. We walk, we do things. I mean, he's very much God. See, God will do what he says he will do. And we can consider Simeon and Anna and Lurk too. And we won't take the time. They had waited and it came to pass just like he said it would. Consider Abraham. The promise that he had, and he couldn't wait, and thus Ishmael is born. But 13 years later, Isaac comes. Israel couldn't wait. They anointed Saul. But what happens eventually? David comes. And I want to say this morning to you, many of you have had promises spoken. Some of you have even heard the audible voice of God. And yet you have not yet seen fulfillment. And I want to declare today, wait, God is not a man that he should lie. And I just feel I wanted to say that because there's some here, I believe, that's a word for you today. You've had the promise and you say, golly, it's been so long, it still hasn't come. God is not a man that he should lie. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Run and not grow weary. Walk and not faint. I love that song. Do you not know? Have you not heard? My Father does not get weary. He'll bring passion to a willing heart. Even the youths grow tired and faint. But strength will come to those who wait. Abraham, Joseph, Israel, and you and me. Let's look at these seven promises. Marianne, watch my time, okay? You don't have a watch, but that's okay. Okay, I'm going to give you seven promises of it, and I want to give you some a few stories with. Number one, the promise of possession. In verse 3, it says this in Joshua, I will give you every place in which you set your foot. And what he's saying there, you will possess your possession, and you will dwell in your inheritance. What was formerly delayed is now being released. And maybe that's a word for someone here today. What was formerly delayed is now being released. Habakkuk chapter 2 says, the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of an end and will not prove false. And though it linger, wait for it. Wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. You know, that story of Lazarus in John chapter 11. I love that verse. We won't turn there just for time, but verse 6, it says, he hears the word that his friend is sick, and he says, well, he stayed 2 more days. And then he arrives, and he's died. And he's already been in the tomb for 4 days. Nothing's happened. And then in verse 38, Jesus declares, now's the time. Lazarus, come forth. And if you're feeling you're not there yet, if you're feeling there's something that you haven't possessed yet, maybe now is the time. Wait. Go for it. Hold on. Possess it. Own it. For us in Burundi and working in Congo, this is very important. For as we, if we just looked at what we see with our eyes, I would have packed up a long time ago. It seems impossible. It will never happen. There's a word in Kearney that says, Eriko. But God is not a man that he should lie. God is not. See, possession. Here's what possession means. It's what belongs to you and is rightfully yours. Now, there are some things that are rightfully yours. And sometimes what we have to do is we have to reach out and we do this. I do this with the kids a lot. I say, okay, well, that what we're praying for is rightfully ours. And I want you to reach out and say, give me that back, devil. Give me that back. And that's what they do. And something builds in their faith. And maybe that's what you need to do. Give me that back. It's not yours. It's rightfully mine. See, peace in Burundi, peace in Congo is rightfully ours. Provision, security, family. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we're Canadian. You know what that means? You know what Canadians know? Somebody takes something and say, oh, well, I really don't want to bother you, but, you know, that's my... Well, okay, if you must have it, that's okay. And we walk away. We do that. No, give me. It's mine. It's rightfully mine. It's a possession. And God promises us possession. Let me read a scripture for you. Just turn to Isaiah chapter 35. Because this is something. I just want to just quickly just share this and give you verse 5 and verse 6. Isaiah 35, it talks about the wilderness and the desert being glad and all the promises for Zion's happy future. But then it comes. It says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer. The tongue of the mute will shout for joy. The waters will break forth in the wilderness. Streams in Araba. And it goes on about the scorched land. Let me say, here's a promise for you. The desert in your life, and that's what we're holding, is about to give way to the promised land. The desert is about to give way to the promised land. In verse 5, you're going to see what you've never seen before. And that's what we're experiencing right now. Everybody said, wow, Congo. I remember when Ron McLean was with us in March with Barney and came on the visit. Ron walks into Congo and he says, this place is wrecked. That was his only comment. He just said, this place is wrecked. There's a promise. And we're taking hold of it. You see what you've never seen before. Hear what you've never been able to hear before. And maybe you're one of those this morning. You're going to hear what you've never been able to hear. You're going to walk where you've never walked before. You're going to rejoice in what you've never been able to rejoice before. Because, you know, God is saying that. I can't rejoice in this. I can't. You're going to rejoice in what you've never been able to rejoice in before. And you're going to speak what you've never spoken before. Promise of possession. God is about to give you the possession that is rightfully yours. And we're taking hold of that. Number two, the promise of progress. Verse 4, it says, your territory will extend. God is wanting to expand our lives. God is wanting to expand our family, our ministry, our impact that our lives make, our finances. God wants to expand our business. Some of you are businessmen. God wants to continually expand you. Progress. Moving forward. And this has been stacked against us. It's happened for us, though, in Congo. And especially despite all the things that have been put up against us. You know, you all were part of that. You know some of the things. You've heard this. You know, we've sent emails. We say, pray for us. There's war. There's this. There's that. And it says, you know, everything's against us. But God is continuing to move us forward. I'll tell you a story in just a second, but. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter, I preached on this last time I was here, I believe. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. And just before we go, I want you to turn and say this to your neighbor. God is able. Just say it to one another. God is able. Come on, we're in Africa now. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Okay, you're speaking something. God is able to make all grace abound to you. And here's the wonderful thing. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You know what abound means? Progress. Abounding, growing, expanding. God promises that. Abounding in every good work. Growth in every good work. Expansion within what you are doing. Abounding so that in turn you can abound. That's why He abounds us. So that you can abound to others. I want to tell you a testimony here. Many of you, and I want to make sure I thank you for for this fellowship. You know, you responded at a time when there was very big crisis in Eastern Congo. There was the village up in Marungu and the children's center were surrounded by rebels. You remember that? There was no food. There was nothing getting through. And you guys responded in such a marvelous way. It was a surprise. So I got an email one day and said, oh, by the way, we just received some money from West Coast Christian Fellowship. Do you think you can use it? Yeah, duh. But they were hungry. There was no food. Villages had been wiped out all around. And they were streaming towards this center of refuge that's been established there now. How were we going to feed them? We couldn't get anything up. They were cold. It was raining. We're in the mountains. It's 10,000 feet. It's cold, even in Africa. But what was happening at that time was the rebels, the Interahamwe, were surrounding and they were attacking all the village. But somehow they weren't attacking where we were, where our home is and where Emmanuel Center is. And when Thomas was there, you all know Thomas Sent. Thomas was with us in August last year. And we were dedicating the new center, Emmanuel Center, with the children's homes and everything, government officials there. And one of the things we did on the Sunday, Pastor Reuben and I, and we poured oil all on the ground. You may have heard this. And we declared that this was a place of refuge and healing, and that nothing would come against it. That was in August. We were back up in October, made a trip to some other villages. Everything was fine. November, everything broke loose again in Eastern Congo. Anyway, all these villages were being wiped out. One village that was totally burnt to the ground, and all the people streamed there. Some of the people in the village were very worried in Marungu. And so they said, come on. They could hear the mortar fire. They could hear the guns. They could see the people running. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go. And this old woman says, I'm not going. They said, come on, they're coming. You can hear them. I'm not going. I said, why aren't you going? Don't you remember what they did here in August? I said, come on, let's hurry. We got to. Don't you remember? This is a place. I'm not going anywhere. And they couldn't leave her. So they stayed too. And guess what? The rebels came. They go off to another village 6 hours away, take all the cows, all the chickens, all the produce, killed some people, brought everything back, went around the children's home, and continued on into the forest. Progress. Says your territory will extend. And what's happened is out of a small beginning, this thing has grown and grown and grown. And now it's a center of refuge. So people came, even the mothers and children of the rebels. They were in the bush. They're running from the government forces. But they came into the center of refuge. So we're feeding people. What are we going to do? Well, we can't feed you. You're rebels. We gave them blankets. We gave them food. And that's part of what you were able to do. But the progress that's taken place. God says your territory will extend. You know, abundance is a characteristic of God. we've been traveling a little bit, and the beauty. Tony, I know they love the mountains, but many of you have been up there. It's the myriad, the thousands of variety. He's able to fashion. He's able to produce. God is a God of grace. This verse that we read, God is able to make all grace abound to you. His joy is unspeakable. His peace passes all understanding. His love is beyond knowledge. And God is always thinking. God is always creating. But He cares for you. He cares for them. He cares for that that little boy, that mother, that his thoughts are toward you. He's able to make all grace abound to you. I love this verse. I may be getting off track here, but count the number of universals in it. All grace, always, all sufficiency, all things. God abounding so that we might abound. God is progress. He's expanding. Can I tell you another story? And I'll tie this in. You all know the prayer of Jabez. Okay? And we're not going to talk about that. But Jabez prays this prayer. He says, bless me. Enlarge me. That's progress. May your hand be with me. That's his presence. May you keep me from harm. That's protection. And God says, God granted his request. Why? Because he was more honorable than his brothers. And let me just say this. And again, this may be for saying, because this is a testimony. If we are to progress, it matters what we speak. It matters how we act towards others. Remember what I said about feeding the rebels too? How we act towards others. How we do business. What we speak. Our yes being yes. Our no being no. How others see us. Our reputation. How we live with one another. How we treat our wives and our spouses. How we lead our children. How we respond to authority. One of the things that has taken place, and this is just a testimony because that is what we've been working on. It's not common in Africa. But I want to say for Pastor Reuben, and that is his very heart. He is the man of the highest integrity. And he walks in this. And here's the progress because we've done this. Emmanuel Center, 300 acres the government gave us. We've got the children's homes. We've got the school. We've got the sewing center. We've got the flour mills. We've got everything happening there. And we've been faithful in what they've asked. When we've said something, we've done it. When we promise something, we fulfilled our promise. So, the government comes to us, and nobody else says, would you be willing to do something similar in Uvira? I said, well, what do you mean? We'll give you the land. So now we have another 5 acres right in outside the city where another children's home is going to go, where another training center is going to go, where another, you know, guest teams and everything else we can bring. Because he's making progress because we've been honorable in what we've done. That's just an aside. Number 3, 10 more minutes. The promise of power. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And I want to say that for you today. Maybe you are encountering enemies today. All the enemies and opposition will bow before you, and they will be scattered in front of you. I have given you authority, God says, to trample on snakes, scorpions, and to overcome what? All. I love all the alls in Scripture. All the power of the enemy. We need to say this. Say it after me, please. Because this is another promise. I have given you. Say it to one another. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. See, we're speaking a promise that Jesus made to you and me. Again, overcome all the power. The rebels, we just gave the testimony. They bypass. Matter of fact, it was so critical and so unbelievable that they did that. We actually had to go to the government army and say, hold on, listen, we don't know why they're doing this. But we're not collaborating with them. We're not with the, you know, because that's the thing that can come across. It's a very dangerous thing. But God says, you will overcome. Your enemies won't stand before you. And this has become a safe place. All the other villages, where do they go? They have safety. God has given us this. The promise of power. The Lord says, that which has resisted you and hindered you will bow before you and will be scattered in front of you. When you guys gave that those finance a little while ago with African Revival Ministries, no other big NGO, World Food Program, you name it, nobody could get through. Nobody. There wasn't even a stick of grain getting through to where the people were hungry and were starving. Why did we get through? And we continue to have safe passage. Not because we're paying anybody. God has given us favor. He's given us power. And because of that, we can stand in what it says in Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Or timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and discipline. Let me just add this because it's very important. You know, lots of stuff is taking place, but I want to tell you the reason God is blessing us is because we're in unity. Pastor Reuben and the people we work with were of one heart and one mind. Now, you all know the scripture that says one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. I did some math, okay? If one puts 1,000 to flight, the minute that another person comes alongside me, 10,000, okay? Now we're going to add one other person. Now we've got three. That's 100,000. Then we just bring another person on. That's 1,000,000. Then we bring the fifth person on. That's 10 million. And we bring the sixth person on who's in unity. That's 100 million. Then we bring the seventh person in. 1 billion. Now listen, if only seven people come together. Now maybe this is something for the church today. If only seven people are willing to abandon and crucify their own agendas. If only seven people are not worried about anything else but pursuing what the kingdom can do, we're talking about power here, we'd be astonished. Astonished at the power that would be dispensed through the church. One puts 1,000, 2/10, 7 is 1 billion. And listen, power is not about how loud you yell or how you scream at the devil. We all love doing that. It's about unity. And when we're in unity, 1 billion. One will put 1,000 to flight, but seven will put 1 billion to flight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Next, the promise of his presence. In verse 5 and verse 9, what God says here, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You will reach new heights of intimacy with God. God is going to give you that. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. Because this is about the presence of God. Just a couple of verses in Isaiah 43. Verse 1. But now thus says the Lord your creator of Jacob and he who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That talks about presence too. When you pass through the waters, what? I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Since you, verse 4, are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I want you to take hold of this today. Because I love you, we heard about it, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. The promise of presence. Moses cries out to the Lord when he's commanded to take the people of Israel up to the land that had been promised. Here's what he says. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't even send us up there. Don't even tell us. If you're present, if I can't be assured of your presence. But the promise here, as I have been with Moses, so I will be with you. And listen, so as he has been with Moses, he will be with you. He will be with you. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. As he has been with Moses, he has been with us. And he's always with us. Promises to Moses, his presence would go with them, and he would give them rest. There's a direct relationship between the presence of God and rest. You know, whatever we've gone through in Congo and whatever Pastor Reuben and the people we work with, you know something? We're not sweating, other than because of the heat. We're at rest. When his presence is here, there is rest. We have to walk in it. Oh, there's so much more I could say on that. But let me just, I want to get through this. So, you know, what's one of the things that's included in this is the promise of protection. Now, all the kids that are here, how many know what lions are? Yeah? Okay, one other thing. I want to tell you a story. We sat at the feet of a 96-year-old pastor. Pastor Reuben and I sat at his feet for about 3.5-4 hours, just before I came here in June. He's 96 years old. He still reads without glasses. Let the anointing come. And he preaches like you've never heard anybody preach before. But he's been an evangelist. He was one of the first converts of the Swedish missionaries that went to Congo. Many of you have heard the story of Svea Flood. I mean, he was one of their first converts. It wasn't through Svea, but the team that were with her. And we had the privilege with Barney to go to where she was killed, where she died, and where that church, that's the church, one of the churches we work with, is out of that whole story. But he was telling us a story, and he says in the old days they used to go and they'd preach the gospel. And he was talking about the presence of God. And he says, you know, wherever we went, we knew what the presence of God was. He says, we were walking in the mountains and we didn't know how to get where we were going. So what the people who were receiving them, they sent a young boy who came to guide them through the mountains and everything else. They were partway through their journey and they heard the roar. And they were surrounded by lions. Now, he was saying that there were 5 or 6 lions. And he said, I knew I had the presence of God. I sent a picture, and you may have got it. It's his testimony says, all I ever needed was a bag to carry my clothes in, a hat for the sun, and my Bible to feed me. And that's all he had. And these lions, and it was the promise of protection with his presence. They were roaring, they were going to come, and he just gathered this little boy in front of him and said, he just said, it's okay, son. And he said, Lord, you've promised your presence. But if this is how we're to die today, take me and this little boy into your glory right now. And he just bowed his head and he held the boy. And he held the boy. 3 hours later, the people from the village were worried about them. They came and they found them still huddled like that. No one had touched them. No lion had come near them. The presence of God. Presence comes rest. presence brings protection. The promise, the promise of protection. Verse 6, it says the promise of purpose. It says you will lead these people and they will inherit the land. And God's is continuing to unfold his purpose in our lives. I love what it says. It says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We know all things in God work together for good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. God says he will have purpose. When it says of David, it says when David had served the purpose of God in his generation, then he slept. And that's, Lord, let me do that. When I'm finished serving the purpose of God, I'll then take me. And I know he won't. He won't take me before that. Again, just because of time, we'll go to the next one. Promise of prosperity. It says you will be prosperous and successful. God promises that. You will be made rich in every situation. That's the promise in 2 Corinthians. So that you can be generous in every case. God is going to continue to bring us prosperity. You know, remember that, I don't know if I spoke, but the definition of poverty. You know what poverty is? Poverty is not an issue of not having. What poverty is holding on tightly to what you have for fear you're never going to get any more. And so the people up there, they're hungry. What do? They get blessed and they give. The rebel women, the children who are hungry and need blankets, they got them too. And because of that, God continues to bless. And he also gives us the promise of peace. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's number 7, the promise of peace. I love this verse. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And there's, again, many things we can say. But Joshua chapter 1, let's just go back there and we're going to close right now. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 10. We just read verse 9, up to verse 9. Verse 10 begins with this. Depending on what translation, it either says then. Joshua has just heard all the promises of God. And then it begins with verse 10, then, or so. Therefore, as a result of what has been said from verse 1 to 9, and the promises that God has given to Joshua, Joshua immediately, in Kurundi it says, maze. So, therefore, then it says, then, the very next thing Joshua does, he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't stop and think about, well, I wonder if he's really going to do all this that he says he's going to do. It says, then Joshua commands the officers of the people, pass through the camp, and he starts giving out orders. Well, see, when God speaks to us, and this is what we're learning, as he did to Joshua with these promises, then we're left with what we're going to do with them. And immediately Joshua begins to implement. He says, I've got the promise, now I'm going to do the work. Okay, you've got the promise, we've got the promise, so what are we waiting for? And immediately Joshua, and we could look forward. I love this verse, chapter 21 in Joshua. Listen to what it says. You can either turn there. It's verse 43 and 45. Listen to the promises of God. And it says, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Okay? Not one of their enemies stood before them. See, we stand on this every day. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. And I love this. Not one of all of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one of them was fulfilled. See, being in the plan of God requires that we believe His promises. His promises, this is what a promise is. His promises are His plans as yet unfulfilled. That's what a promise is. It's a plan not yet fulfilled. But hearing the promises is only part. We have to act in faith on these promises. The promise of possession, the promise of progress, the promise of power, the promise of His presence, the promise of His purpose, the promise of prosperity, the promise of His peace. And see, we believe that everything for Burundi and Congo is there for us to possess, because He's given us His promise. Not one of all the Lord's good promises failed. Every one was fulfilled. And that's how we can't wait to get back. We love it here in Canada. We love being with friends. We love being with family. But David and I were listening to a tape that the children have just done. You'll get to hear it one day with a DVD. But we were listening, and tears just started to... I can't wait to get back. Not because of all the stuff we're doing, because I want to see God's promises, His plans that are yet unfulfilled. Charlie mentioned about an offering that we just had. One of the things that we just suggested when Tony and I were talking and Marianne, is if you'd be willing, we'd love to help put that towards building a school in the mountains. I don't know how much it is, but we're in process. We're right now ready to start building for the children up in the Emmanuel Center, and we need to build a school. And if you'd be willing, even if it's one classroom, that would be part of your investment. That's immediate. You know, education, we're very committed to that. You know Andrew Freeman. Of course, you know David Freeman, and we work very closely together in Congo. He's there at least once, maybe twice a year now with us. And because we believe it's part of the healing process and the building and rebuilding of that nation. And Pastor Reuben is very committed to schools. And so if you'd be willing, that would be one suggestion that I would make. And it would be immediate, and you'd be able to see the results, but a tangible result in the very near future. Thank you for receiving us. Children, thank you for being so patient with us. And I hope you're challenged. I hope that you can take hold. My prayer with you is you take hold of the promise that is yours. Can I just pray for you? Father, I thank you for this family, these brothers and sisters that has been spoken of already. Lord, I thank you that you have given us history together. But Father, more, I thank you that you're not only the God of the present, you're the God of the future. And Lord, just as we take hold of these promises for these nations that you have privileged us to work in, and with the people you've privileged us to work with, Father, I pray that you would just loose the blessing of these promises on these people. Father, I pray that they would know prosperity, that they would know progress, they would know peace, they would know provision, they would know all the things that we've spoken of, Father. They would know purpose, and most of all, Lord, they would know your presence. Lord, may we not go anywhere unless your presence goes with us. Lord, continue to expand us. Continue to grow us. But Lord, allow us to get to know you deeper and deeper. You are a good God. And we thank you for your presence here. Amen. Imana ibe hezegir. May God bless you. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ray. So the school that the offering is going towards, what's the name of the place?
Emmanuel Center.
Emmanuel Center. In the mountains of Congo. 250 students already there. Amen. Okay, so as we hear about Emmanuel Center in the future, that is where this offering is going towards.